That's my good friend, Derek Gilbert. I want to bring on my other good friend here, Shannon Davis. How are you there, brother?
Hey, David. I'm doing great, and I'm excited to be here with you tonight. What an honor.
It's an honor to have you. There's two things to pay attention here. Number one is H.P. Lovecraft, which I'm going to bring on a little bit later on in the show. Not him personally, but I've got another video on him. And also channeling. So those two things. So, Shannon, what say you that more people are believing in aliens today, ETs, than they are God?
David, the paranormal is a huge market right now. And I think that the reason is so many people are seeing these things. Millions are reporting sightings, being paralyzed on their bed, losing time. It's becoming ubiquitous out there. And I think that's probably because we've, because of the way our society is, we've broken through the veil and we've opened the doors to these demons. So they're everywhere now being sighted.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to, you know, we were talking about channeling just a second ago. And what's happening, Shannon, I'm going to play this video, is people don't understand this is a generational thing. This happened many, many, many years ago of how people have channeled demons, which aliens are demons. Let me get that straight right up front. And Shannon, yes. You agree with me. Okay, good.
Absolutely. All right,
let's take a look at this. Now, H.P. Lovecraft, I'm going to talk about him just a moment after we take a look at
this. The thing with Lovecraft is that he considered himself a man of science. He was an atheist, he believed. But when you examine his body of work and then compare that against the occultist Aleister Crowley, who was probably the most influential occultist of the 20th century, you find there are parallels that are beyond the realm of chance. And researchers, including Crowley's personal secretary and successor, Kenneth Grant, believed that Lovecraft was channeling the same spiritual source that fed Crowley his books for his religion, Thelema.
Okay, what I think I hear you saying is there is a spirit that gets channeled through people generation through generation.
Right.
And the reason you're interested, you believe possibly he could have been a conduit.
Yes.
A funnel, a channel.
Yeah.
For this evil.
This evil, right.
Wow. This is entertainment, my world, and of course you're in broadcasting, but I come from Hollywood. I've actually sat in channeling sessions, Shannon, with some stars where they've channeled spirits. And this was many years ago before I was brain dead. I was a Christian, but I was a brain dead Christian. I didn't have a clue. And I saw spirits take people over. I saw them channel spirits. There's a lot of channeling that goes on in Hollywood. The reason for that is through entertainment, I've seen, when I'm making movies, I've seen actors being taken over. They actually take on another personality. You ever watch an actor and they're so good, you go, that actor isn't even who they are anymore. There's somebody else.
Absolutely.
Channel.
I've heard a couple actors mention that's a secret. They actually open themselves up and something steps in.
Yeah.
And it's a demon.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's a demon.
Very common.
Yeah. Yeah. I you mentioned the paranormal just a minute ago. And I want to take you through a journey on this with this next video and give me your opinion on this, on the paranormal, how people are leaning toward it and why they're leaning toward paranormal and why they're not leaning more toward God or who they think God is.
This paranormal world that you are in, these are actually real demons that operate in this world of electronic magnetic fields.
Oh yeah, it's a scary thing because it seems that the environment we live in is cyclical in nature. And if you look at the early 1920s, paranormal community blew up, and now we're into this 2020s, and the paranormal community, will mark my words, it's coming back. It's becoming a very popular thing. People want spirituality, and since the church is not giving it to them, they're going to the secular world or into spiritualism, and there's going to be an explosion of this communicating with the dead happening again, and we have the technology to do it now.
Wow. Okay. What say
you? No question about it. People want to know the future. They're looking for answers, and sadly, they're going to the wrong source. They're going to mediums who are channeling evil spirits. They're using technology, Ouija boards. They're using AI Ouija boards now. And they're making contact with something that's very real, and it sits right beyond the veil that we see. And if you open the door to these, they will come in willingly. So proliferation of it right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to bring Shanita on because we talked at the very beginning, Shannon. The first video I played was people believe in aliens more than God. And I'm going to get into some videos a little bit later on how we're being sold this bill of goods on the alien demon connection. Of course, to most people, it's just aliens, extraterrestrial. We know it's interdimensional, right? It's aliens.
Yes.
Inside, but I want to bring Shanita on. Hey, Shanita, how are you?
Well, I'm coming from the Star Wars and Star Trek realm. I joined the local orchestra because I wanted to interact with our community. And the theme for this year's concert is everything interstellar. So I'm believing that it's going to spark some great conversations.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So Shanita, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole on this because it's not really where I want to go, but I'm sitting at dinner and her father's a pastor, a Baptist, and pretty conservative. And she happens to mention that she believed in aliens, which is alien demon, because she's been with me for such a long time. But then she also said, I believe the earth is flat, that the, this whole thing about the moon, about landing, is not real. It's been manufactured. It's not. Is that true, Shanita, or am I telling the truth?
I'm of the opinion that I need to learn to question everything except scripture.
Okay. All right. So here's my question, or why I asked the question, Shannon and Shanita. If they're trying to sell us on the ET thing, on the Star Wars, Star Trek, and Shanita even is going, has a concert that the theme's on that, wouldn't it make sense that they would do everything they could to paint this picture of outer space, of there's life, of there's mm-hmm. things going on? I mean, think about it. And I'm not saying the Earth's flat. That's all I'm saying. But let's say it was, then they would have to go out and manufacture this story. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Well, you know, you look at Satan, he's the father of lies, the Bible says.
Yeah.
So he's the ultimate deceiver. And we've got people with an interest in everything supernatural right now. They are seeing things. It's undeniable. But because they're not rooted in the scripture, they're easily deceived. And Satan wants to put together this narrative that we were created by some space brothers. And I think the stage is being set, maybe even an invasion of the aliens, and people are looking for the government to come out and say, hey, we've known about this for some time. You know, we've been contacting the aliens. We've gotten their technology from them. Of course, we know that's false, but Satan is able to masquerade as an angel of light. And if you don't know the truth, he's ready to deceive you, and many are. They're buying this lie that there's something else out there, aliens that created this this world that we live in, and they've got an interest in finding out more.
Yeah.
Would you like an example I just saw this week of
yes.
Satan doing that? So I'm watching the previews for a Christian movie, and one of the previews is Inside Out 2, and the loner is trying to connect to the aliens so that he has a place of belonging. So he's inviting himself to be abducted.
That's a good Christian movie. Okay, well, let's thank God we got shows like our show and Shannon. So, well, Shanita, we're gonna bring you back in just a bit.
Okay. I'm gonna leave my bunny ears at home next time because I'm not.
We're going to pray for the Christian movie industry, if there is such a thing. I don't know.
But I do have a question for Shannon on something that he just brought up. Do you want it now or at Q&A time?
Okay, let's do Q&A when I bring you back.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Love you. All right.
I should.
Let's go to Lovecraft again. It's 6 years old, encountering aliens. So we're getting into why do the churches go after aliens more? I mean, people go after aliens more than God. And now we're moving how it segues from this channeling into the alien check.
Lovecraft, when he was a six-year-old kid, was afflicted with night terrors. He was these horrible dreams of these black humanoid entities with rubbery skin and wings that would carry him off to dreamland. He tried for a whole year not to go to sleep at night because he was terrified. And that influenced his writing in later years. So he may have considered himself an atheist, but not recognized that he was under some sort of spiritual guidance or attack of some sort. And again, the fruit of what he did, even though he wrote in later years, you know, this body of work that created this mythos of alien gods, certainly as an author, never intended to mislead any of our readers. And yet there are people who bought it, believed it. And again, it inspired Eric von Daniken to come up with Chariots of the Gods. And that now is almost like a received text in the modern UFO community.
Wow. So what happens is filmmakers, they follow these people, they read their books, and it comes out through another avenue, such as film. Sure.
Yeah. You see, he channeled the spirits, and through him came the alien demon deception. And so he lays that out as science fiction. But really, you know, this is how they're presenting it. Over the years, they've been doing this, Shannon. Hollywood.
You know, the Bible says, because they had not love of the truth, God gave them over to a strong delusion, to believe the lie. And, you know, the greatest lie I think that Satan has ever produced is that he does not exist. And in the church, very few people are interested in deliverance ministry, the paranormal. I remember growing up in the church, basically they said, you don't need to worry about those demons. That's only for those people that are over in Africa involved in voodoo. But boy, did I get a rude awakening when I realized that demons are real. Just about everybody walking the globe has them. And I get further talking about this subject with people that are not even believers in Christ than I do in the church. They believe, and they're in contact with these things, but sadly, men in the church are in the dark.
Yeah, yeah. So we're talking about how do they get into the system, the body of Christ, into people, and we're talking generations. And people go, well, this is kind of a new thing, channeling. You know, it's a new age thing. Not necessarily. Check this video out right here.
Believe it or not, when Constantine legalized Christianity, the earliest churches in Rome after Constantine legalized the Christian faith were built in graveyards, including St. Peter's Basilica, which is on the grounds of the Vatican, so that the early church, the early Christians, could continue the practice of going to the grave sites of their ancestors and performing these ritual meals. They would pour out the drink on the tomb. In fact, when they did archaeological work inside St. Peter's Basilica a few years back, they found the shrine that holds the body of St. Peter.
Right.
The tomb next to Peter's has a libation tube, a tube that would carry the water poured in for the ritual meal directly to the corpse.
Yeah. It's, I'm telling you, the more you research this thing, Shannon, it goes back. It's a generational curse. I've been doing this for generations, till it's in the church today, brother. It's in the church today.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible says when you make contact with the dead, that's necromancy.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some good Christians in the Catholic Church, but not all Catholics are Christians. And when you're praying to a dead saint, they can't hear your prayers, but a demon can. And yeah, you begin to worship these demons. And when you get confirmed, they give you a name of a patron saint. It's a patron demon, a familiar spirit assigned to you. So very dangerous. Many of the world religions are opening up doors to demons, and not just Catholics, but Protestants too.
You ain't kidding. I'm going to play you one more video, and then we're going to go to that subject that you're talking about. It's a great lead-in. Check
the spirits of the dead were believed to still influence the world of the living. The thing is, those spirits aren't human. We see nothing in the Bible about human spirits returning to the land of living except for Samuel, who visited King Saul with a message from God. God allowed that to happen. The demons that Jesus and the apostles cast out in the New Testament, those were spirits of the Nephilim. And again, that was the belief of the early church. That was kind of pushed out of Christian theology around the 5th century after Augustine said, nah, that's too weird. It goes deeper than this, because the kings of the Canaanites, and these were the mighty men who were of old, it was believed that the kings would join something called the Assembly of the Rephaim after death.
Yeah. See, they knew what was going on in the early church with demons, because when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he dealt with these demons. But we've lost it through the generations. The demons have actually come in and wreaked more havoc as time goes on, but the Christian community has distanced themselves, has become more ignorant on demonic warfare.
Now, what I may say is a little bit controversial, but the greatest lie that Satan ever sold the church on, there's two, is that a Christian can't have a demon. So most people don't spend any time on deliverance, 1/3 of Jesus' ministry. And number two is that we're going to get out of here before trouble comes. I believe we're here till the last trump, as your last evangelist series is trying to prepare people to be ready. And as a result, it's open season. We've got people bound up, being tormented, some suiciding in the church, even at the pastor levels. And you say, what's going on here? They got demons, and they need to get them out. And they are just coming through the veil because people are opening up doors to them through a number of ways. Drugs, fornication, ungodly entertainment, a number of doors, you know, playing with the occult. Well, open up a door, play with a Ouija board one time, and you're going to get a demon that's now going to have access to your life. And once you open that door, very difficult to close it. But thank God there is a thing called deliverance, and you can be free. Back to you.
Absolutely. We're talking to Shannon Davis of Omega Man. Shannon, we're going to take a break. Tell everybody real quick, what is the website there? How can they watch you?
Thank you. Check us out on the web at OmegaManRadio.com and on YouTube at Shannon Davis Podcast. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. We'll be right back with Shannon. Listen, folks, we're talking about something very serious here, okay? I don't want you to think we have a tinfoil hat on. This is how the great deception is going to happen. And this is why you and I, we're the watchers. We wake up, we watch, we warn. Call somebody you know and tell them they need to watch this broadcast. It's very important. I want you to go to lastevangelist.com if you'd like to support Last Evangelist TV series. That'd be great. We got episode 3 coming out soon. You can be an actor. You can be a producer. You can be just go to special thanks. Lastevangelist.com. If you would, that would really bless us and help us so much. We've got, let me just put up the, there's the episode 1. Legalized Jesus, about censorship, how they're persecuting Christians. And this is about the vaccine, and we call it the insertion. And episode 2 is going to be about mind control. And the only place you can see this is on DavidHebner.tv. If you'll go and check that out, we'll be right back.
Well, I want you to go to DavidHebner.tv. We have 2 exclusive videos that are up. You won't see anyplace else. I'm Dr. Michael Lake. The first one is Technocracy and Tyranny. That's part 2. Part 1 is MK Ultra is used today, program multiples and mass shootings. This is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You'll get it on DavidHebner.tv. Please support us. If you haven't signed up, go and sign up now. You get a 2 months free if you sign up for a year. And folks, it is not expensive, but it really does help the ministry. And also, you'll get over 700 videos. Spencer, what are the names of some of those channels up there?
Yeah, David, we've got the live stream channel. We've got the Russ Dizdar tribute channel, David's Choice in the Spotlight, Spiritual Warfare Training, Alien Demon Connection, the Last Evangelist TV series, originals and exclusives, mind control.
And it's the only place you can see Last Evangelist, DavidHebner.tv.
All right. I've got my good buddy Shannon here. Shannon, I got to get you on David. Well, you are on David Hebner TV right now. We're broadcasting live.
David, pop quiz for your audience.
Yeah.
What was Jesus Christ doing the last 72 hours of his life? And I think that's important to know, because if he would spend his last 72 hours on this planet, and you know, this week is Passover week and so forth, Easter Sunday, just before he was crucified, he was approached by one of Herod's crew, and they said, Herod's looking to kill you. He wants to get a hold of you. Basically, take your head off like he did John the Baptist. And Jesus said, go tell that old fox that today I cast out devils and do cures, and tomorrow, then the third day, I'll be lifted up. The last 72 hours of Christ's life was spent doing deliverance ministry, laying hands on the sick. And if he was doing it, should we be doing it right now, especially with this occult explosion? And you've got people right in front of us now worshiping Satan. They've got temples to Baphomet. Hollywood is putting together all these occultic movies, and they're just, you know, we're being bombarded by the occult. These are demonic spirits, and you better know how to fight back, or they want to take you out in a body bag. Back to you.
Absolutely. Well, demons have ranks. Demons have ranks. High level warfare, Shannon, and we got to wake up. We got to wake up before it's too late, because I believe the last day is here. You know, we're not in the last days. We're in the last day, because 1,000 years to us is one day to God. One day to God. We're not on God's time, right? In other words, we don't understand God's time. This whole, it could be the next 1,000 years, and that's like a second to God. So we don't have much time. We are in the last day. And this is why I think, which is what we're talking about tonight, is alien worship in the church. This is going to happen, I think, Shannon, and I'm going to get into it in a second, but people go, who is the Antichrist? How could the man of sin, one guy, well, first of all, I think it's a system, the Antichrist system, but within that system is going to be one entity. How in the world could they control the whole world? And people go, well, it's the Pope. Yeah, there's a lot of Catholics, but a lot of people don't like Catholics. It's not going to be Mormons. It's not going to be, you know, the Muslims. It's not going to be any religion, because you got people against different religions. But what if it's an entity that comes from outer space? So people think, because we have an epidemic where now we need a certain kind of miracle, like medicine, or if you want to live to be at 500 years old, or if you want to, you know, be smart, have money in the bank, whatever. And this alien shows up and says, saves the day. What say you on that?
Well, Jesus warned us. He said, before he returns, there'll be Antichrist in the world. There will be a Antichrist. And he said, you know, if they say, I'm out in the desert, don't go out there. You know, come and find me in an inner chamber. Don't go down there. He talks about a great falling away. These are not unsaved people. These are Christians who are lukewarm, and they get deceived, and they believe the lie. And, you know, that's going to happen if we don't stay rooted in the word. A strong delusion is going to come, and there may be some tuning in out there tonight that are not where they need to be. If you don't get rooted in the word, so you know the difference between truth and deception, you could be one of those that are captured by this delusion that's coming.
Absolutely. We're going to get into scripture in just a moment. I want to play, how is he getting into the church today? Shannon, let's go through the back door. I want to introduce something that you're familiar with, but I do want to bring it up.
The church of today, are they practicing New Age and don't even know it?
Many of them are. Yeah. I would say it's upwards of 98%.
No, wait a minute.
Easily.
No.
Yeah. They did a study where they only tested for 5 or 6 of the main New Age beliefs. And this is big stuff like reincarnation. You would think right. No Christian's going to believe in reincarnation. Right. Many do. They did 5 or 6 of those, the big ones. And they found through that study, 68% of Christians have at least one of those beliefs. If not all of them. Now, there are hundreds of New Age beliefs that are way more subtle than something like reincarnation. One of the big ones that really surprised me that people really struggle with, have a problem with, really don't like me because I want Christians not to do it, but yoga. Yoga is totally a New Age thing. Yoga is practicing the sun salutations for essentially fallen angels.
Wow.
Yeah.
That just sparked a memory. There's a major televangelist, I won't mention his name, but his wife holds yoga practice in her church. They call it Christian yoga. And I've got a book written by a yogi. He's an active yogi practitioner. He tells you that every pose, David, in yoga is to orient your body to the worship of a specific Hindu deity. Mm-hmm. And the mantras, that's calling demons into you. Yoga means yoke. It's a religion. And if you get involved in yoga or transcendental meditation, you're opening the door for demonic attack. Furthermore, we've even got a ministry out there from Australia. I'll be polite, won't mention the name, but they made their way into some of the big churches on the West Coast, and they're doing Christian tarot card readings, David.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not a real tarot card. This is like prophesying, but we're trying to reach some masses, and we handcrafted these angel cards. Brother, witchcraft has infiltrated the church.
Big time. I've been in churches. Well, first of all, I've done a lot of interviews with people and witches in the church. One gentleman I interviewed, one of several, actually, his mother was a white witch, a Sunday school teacher in the church. And I've interviewed many people who have either been witches, ex-witches, warlocks, and they were in the church operating. I tell people, if you think Satan doesn't go to church, you're crazy. It's in the church. And I've actually seen it in the hallways where they've had someone read your palm. And they make a joke. Yeah, they make a joke of it. And I'll tell you another way they do it, Shannon, they get into the church, is they'll do it through this trunk or treat Halloween type mock-up, but they still dress as, you know, witches, warlocks, and under a Christian umbrella, because it's the church, and they'll pretend they're doing these things. You see what I'm saying? And that's all witchcraft wants you to do. They just want you to get more into it and get closer to it and get the people conditioned and brainwashed to it.
There was a major church a few years ago, very sad story. They had one of their leaders who was involved in counseling people in the church who were battling depression, and he committed suicide. And on his obituary, they said he did a great Halloween service every year. No wonder. We've got demons being invited in the church through occult and pagan practices, and we have witches and Satanists, which are being trained to infiltrate churches and take out people. And this is a war.
Yeah, it is. I want to go a little further with the yoga, because I got people in comments telling me, David, tell me more. I've heard about this, but why is it bad? Why is it? Okay, well, let's take a look at this.
What is it about yoga that makes it of new age?
And so yoga was developed by people who said that they got these poses from higher beings. In Christianese, we'd call them like demons, basically. But these beings taught mankind these specific poses to unlock your chakras and to open your third eye and all this stuff. So these poses are for specific things to happen. There are people that have done yoga and literally gone crazy because we documented in the book. It's not healthy. It's not good. It unlocks a person to something, but it unlocks them to the demonic realm. So to like evil spirits. It's an invocation for these evil spirits to come and enter in. Even if a person doesn't realize that they're doing it, even if they feel, well, my heart is right with the Lord and I'm just doing this for Jesus or something. No, you're not. These poses were directly taught to mankind by fallen angels and demons for this specific purpose, them being able to come in. That's like flirting with blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Shannon, I'll give you the first word, and then I'm going to mop it up after that. Go ahead.
David, I've been doing exorcisms. I call it Christian exorcisms. I use that term because the world doesn't understand deliverance for 15 years. And I've come across cases. We've done hundreds of cases with Christians, Hindus, Muslims. I pray for anybody who wants prayer. And we've encountered this spirit called Kundalini. And if you're involved in yoga, which is a religion, okay, you're worshiping foreign gods through the poses that you make. I mean, one lady said, hey, I just trying to get a good workout. Okay, well, do kickboxing or something, you know, do some stretches, jumping jacks. But when you do yoga, you're opening up the door to demons. And the practitioners who will tell you the truth, they're looking for the Kundalini awakening. And Kundalini is a snake which will wrap itself around your backbone. And its goal is to get you to turn control over the spirit, and it will come up, they say, through the chakras and come out the third eye. And people that try to get this Kundalini awakening, many go insane. It will literally blow your mind. And that's why the word of God says, don't break the hedge. The viper, the Kundalini viper will bite. And it's actually infiltrated many churches, David. And you'll be able to spot this because they'll begin to shake their heads and whip it back and around, you know, walk around on the ground, bark like dogs, walk like chickens. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's an unholy spirit. And we need to discern it to know what's the Holy Spirit and what are demons in our midst. Back to you.
Yeah, so I went to a yoga class many years ago. This is, again, I was in L.A. And, of course, I made a lot of movies. Shannon, you know that. I made about 50-some-odd films with some, quite a few stars. And so I was in the, in that network. And so they would invite me again to a yoga class, which probably 60% of the people were well-known television people, actors, producers, directors. And yes. I noticed something. I didn't understand it, but I noticed there was a spirit that took over that class. Now there was a spirit that took, when they started the moves. And of course, this is my first time with yoga. And I'm going, this is strange. I don't really understand this. And I'm telling you, I got sicker than a dog when I finished that class. I was sick for 2 days. I didn't understand it. And I had the yoga teacher tell me it's because we're working the toxins out of your body. No, they weren't. They were working toxins into my body, not out of the body. So what happens is when we get in these positions, even though we don't mean to, it's like a portal. We're welcoming these spirits into our bodies and into our lives, and they actually start controlling our mind. I want to tie the alien demon connection together with what I started out with. More people believe in aliens today than they believe in God and the church. Well, there's going to come a day, I believe, Shannon, where they're going to worship ETs in the church, meaning that there's some greater being that's going to show up, and they're going to actually worship this being in the church. So I want to connect it now to what we call the Nephilim. Let's take a look at this.
These sons of God turn into human form and then have relationships with the women.
They left their habitation, as Jude 1:6 talks about. That's the Greek word oikoterion, means a dwelling place for the spirit. And they're spirit beings coming into the physical world. To interact physically, they're going to have to create their own oikoterion, a dwelling place for that spirit. That's the soul and the body, because the spirit comes from heaven. They create that oikoterion, and they can create any type of dwelling place they want. So they can take any form that they want. They're known sort of in that, in this understanding, as having that changeling ability, and they can choose their sex, which is how the goddesses show up in the polytheist pantheon as well. The form that would sort of represent who they are, not trying to disguise themselves. So the seraphim, right, with the serpent-faced angels, they would pass on traits through DNA because they've created that physical body, that they would look in a similar kind of manner.
May I propose something to you and to the audience? How do you think this stuff gets started? Who do you think shows up and initiates this kind of stuff? I believe it's the spirit of the Nephilim taking physical form, maybe even a temporary time and place. But I believe we encounter Nephilim each and every day as we walk the face of the earth, as in the days of Noah, which I'm going to play another tape in just a minute. In other words, Shannon, some of the people we run into aren't really people at all. They're shapeshifters. They're sons of God coming into the daughters of men, the spirits thereof. And they're actually the watchers over a lot of this stuff. What say you?
Well, you said earlier there's a ranking system in Satan's kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, he is the commander in chief of the dark forces, and you've got the fallen angels. You've got these unclean spirits, the demons. You've got very well the spirits of the giants that may be the demons. We don't know 100%, but that's the best theory I've heard. There's all types of created beings, the watchers, there's chimera creatures. The fact is, Satan has an army, and he has a ranking system just like our U.S. Army. Colonels and majors down to your grunt soldiers. And I've encountered many of them. Many are probably the lower ranking ones. Children of fools with no names, the Bible talks about them. But these things all have the ability to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a formidable foe. And he's trying to present a narrative to the world that doesn't know the truth, that there are these extraterrestrial creatures, UFOs, the grays. Many people have seen them. They're seeing the flying craft in the skies, and they are actually seeing what they report. But we need to understand that these are part of Satan's fallen kingdom, either fallen angels or demons. I have actually looked at a demon in the eye in people and saw their eyes transform. They looked like a snake. And definitely these spirits, and they are personalities, as Derek Prince said. can inhabit bodies. And if they can't find a human, they'll get in an animal. But to your point, there are also the possibility that we're looking at people who are not people with demons at all. These are some type of demonic entities. And you may be talking to one and not even realize it. And many times you're talking to someone and they're not like their normal self. You're talking to something else. You're talking to a demon many times. You realize that. It's not the person. It's a demon speaking to you.
Absolutely. I mean, look at politics. I'm telling you, I believe there's Nephilim in Washington. I really do. I know it sounds like we need to laugh about this, but how in the world could people get away with what they're getting away with and the lunacy that goes on? I talked to late great Russ Dizdar. These things are in the government. They're in law enforcement. They're in the education, obviously in entertainment. So Shannon, people want to know, why do we need to know about these things? I want to get your take on this after I play this video. Why do we need to talk about this? Why is it relevant? What's the purpose? What are we going to get out of this? Let's check this out.
Why do they need to know about the Nephilim?
It's essential to know, David, because it is, Solomon wrote, everything that is has been and everything that was shall be again, and there is no new thing under the sun. So what has been is the Nephilim, these bastard half-breed creations out of the pit of hell from the sons of God. These fallen angels came into women according to scriptural Genesis 6. They were created then. They're here now. Their disembodied spirits, when their bodies have died historically, are now the demonic. And so when people think about the demons, that's how filthy, wicked these things are. And according to Jesus' own testimony, it's going to be the days of Noah, and they're going to be here again. And we need to be Gregorua. We need to be watchful. We need to have the discernment to understand the lateness of the hour and to be emotionally and otherwise prepared for their visual, physical reappearance embodied as the Giants of old.
Oh boy. As in the days of Noah, Shannon, you know, there was taken in marriage, given in marriage, drinking, having a good time, of course. But also you had these fallen angels, Genesis 6, the Nephilim. And I believe that this is what's going to happen in the last days, which I think we're in, which is why it's important that we know about what happened in the days of Noah, because it's happening now. What say you?
Again, if one third of Jesus or one fourth of his ministry was dedicated to fighting these demons, how much more so do we need to know how to do the same? I think the issue we've got here is, you know, the Bible says, be careful, you might be entertaining an angel unawares. And it could be a good angel, you could be entertaining a fallen angel. So just that is a possibility in addition to demonization of people. But the problem we got is these fallen angels, these giant spirits, the Nephilim, there is no redemption plan for them. They're damned. Yeah. And they hate you and I with a vengeance. Yeah. I can't even begin to tell you. Even the smallest demon could kill you and I dead as a doornail if it wasn't for the mercy of God. So how much more is one of these more powerful ones in the heavenlies, the principalities and powers of the air? And knowing that they're damned, they have an intense hatred of mankind because we're created in God's image. They want to drag many of us to hell with them as they can. And they're masters of deception. They're diversified. They're not getting everybody through yoga or Catholicism or Buddhism or Islam. You know, Satan has many ways that he deceives people. Yeah. But the end result is he takes them to hell if they don't receive Christ while there's still grace and mercy to do this. So his time is short, and the Bible talks about war on the saints is coming. You get over to Revelation 9, even the pit opens up. Look, we haven't seen nothing yet. And because time is so short, it's like David, Satan has taken the gloves off, and he's not wasting any time. He's as bad as Mike Tyson in his prime. He's hitting people with a combo punch and taking them out in 90 seconds. And if you don't know what you're dealing with and how to fight back, he's got a name with a body bag with your name on it, and you're headed for it.
Well, you know, I talked to earlier about demons have ranks, because
Yeah.
You know, we're in a military, God's army, you and I, all of us that are children of God. We have a rank. A rank means an assignment. Okay. And when we deal with these Nephilim, these are, I want to call them generals. These are, when I say high ranking, I don't want you all to think that something is more powerful, but the assignment that he has is more detrimental, if that makes sense. You know, the assignment. And the assignment is to take people out in these last days. They're going to do it through the alien demon deception. And what they're doing, Shannon, they're multiplying. These demons, these Nephilim that are hybrids are multiplying. Let's take a look at this and see how possibly they could be doing it. Let's check it out.
Do you believe that some of these casting out of these demons could be the spirit of the Nephilim, the demonic beings that you're talking about, interdimensional?
I believe that, first of all, the Nephilim are the progeny of fallen angels and the women of Earth. So what we see, Jesus says they'll be like the days of Noah. Daniel chapter 2, their seed will mingle with the seed of man, but they will not cleave to them. That's exactly what's happening in the modern day abduction phenomenon. I spoke to someone very recently, maybe an hour ago, about her experiences with all of this. And I told her, I said, first of all, everything you're telling me, I've heard before, verbatim, from all the other people who have been abducted. This is the best kept secret from the dark side, Hell's Kitchen. It's where it's all cooked up in. And what amazes me is there's people sitting in the churches that have been abducted, have been taken. The women have been impregnated. The babies have been taken at the end of the first trimester. Sperm is taken from the men, ovum is taken from the women. This is like the days of Noah. This is what I do. This is what we constantly warn against. All the films, all the books talk about all this.
Wow, Shen. Abduction, you know, I've interviewed it over 20, mostly women, a couple of guys, maybe 30, I don't know. It's been a lot of people that say they've been abducted. They give kind of the same story. They don't know each other. And they don't really have an agenda to sit there and lie. You know, they don't have a book they're trying to sell, most of them. But what happens in these interviews with these abductees is they were impregnated and they lost the baby. It was gone. I believe, tell me what you think, that these things could be breeding. And again, walking among us, you know, walking among us. We're talking years of this happening. What say you?
Well, there's spiritual power in sperm. Okay. And that's how we create life. It's interesting that a lot of this is being extracted. And there is a belief, it's highly controversial, but I've encountered it that, you know, the succubus demons that will steal a man's sperm are taking it to seed children in the spirit. And I have heard stories being over here in Indonesia, strange stories. I've seen strange things. I live on an island called the Island of the Gods, called Bali. 30,000 temples, altars, and shrines. And one of my neighbors, in fact, took a picture of a demon and put it up on Instagram, and it looks like the Slea Stack from Land of the Lost. Looks like one of these grays. Yes. Lizard mouth, big eyes. These things are real. The spirit world is real. And there was a case of a woman who's pregnant one day, like 9 months pregnant, about to give birth, and all of a sudden, there's nothing in her womb. What happened there? I can't explain it, but it's highly probable, like L.A. Marzulli mentioned, that this can be happening. 35 years ago, before the advent of the internet, when you had to go to a library and look up things on microfish, I was doing some research and uncovered an island called Elba, which is off the coast of France, and a technology company set up there called a biotech company. It's like out of the island of Dr. Moreau. They were doing hybrid research back then. We all heard the news just this past week. They've apparently resurrected some wolf pup using 75,000-year-old DNA from a skull and a tooth. There are things being done right now that we're not being told about, especially in places like China and other nations that don't follow these Geneva rules. And they're, in all likelihood, creating chimera creatures and, you know, demons are possessing these things. And you mentioned politicians, as the late Jesuit priest Malachi Martin said, there are perfectly possessed people. There are people that have just said, I surrender all, just like we should do it with Christ and have the Holy Spirit. And they become perfectly possessed by demons. They're sold out to Satan. We probably have demons walking among us, masquerading as angels of light. We've got this whole hodgepodge of things. And if this doesn't scare you folks and make you want to run to the safety, which is Jesus, and learn how to fight back, I don't know what's going to do it. Back to you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Shannon, that's right. When we come back, we're going to talk about how do we fight back. We've been talking about these things, and I wanted to present them so people understand what the problem is. Now we're going to see what the cure is. And it's not going to be, well, just come give your life to Jesus. No. I want to get into it. I want to get into this detailed so that you understand what you're up against. And between Shannon and myself, we pray to God that we're going to give you some information that's going to be able to get you to another level if you've been suffering some of these attacks, these demonic attacks. Shannon, before we take a break again, tell me the name of your broadcast. How can people watch you?
Well, I'm excited to be here with you all out there tonight. You can find us on the web at OmegaManRadio.com, and we stream on YouTube Monday through Thursday at Shannon Davis Podcast. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Okay, we'll be right back with Shannon. You guys, I'm not going to go to a commercial. I just want to share something with you real quick that we're trying to stay on the air, trying to keep the ministry going. If you'd like to pray for us, send us some encouragement, send us some love, that'd be great. Also, if you'd like to donate, you can go to davidhebner.tv/give or text the word CHOSEN to 91999 or call 844-806-0006. And we're going to be going underground with Shannon just a little bit. So I want you to stay with me to go underground. If you're new to us, you can send an email to admin@davidhebner.tv. We'll send you a link back and you can be with us. Don't forget the Vax t-shirt. My vaccine is the blood of Jesus. And it certainly would bless the ministry. Also, too, we've got the books and the DVDs on each of the episode one, episode two of Last Evangelist. And we also have 8 hours of footage of Illuminati, mind control, the deep state, program multiples with about 20 different guests. And then also, if you want to know more about channeling, it's in my book in Hollywood. I talk about channeling, mind control. I got a whole chapter on it and what happens in Hollywood. And this is True Power, another a book we just released, How to Use Your True Power in These Last Days. I appreciate you guys. I really love you all. And thank you for everything that you've done for us. And thank you for walking with us. Okay. We want to pray for you. David@davidhebner.tv. Send me a prayer request. Okay. I love you guys. All right. Shannon, we ended with what do we do now? I want to play a video and then let's talk about what it is that we need to do now coming against these demons. Rest is dark.
Coming against these demons, how do we fight that?
Well, that's the basis. The cross, like in Colossians 2:15,
okay.
He triumphs over the dark powers by the cross. He exposes him, triumphs, while Jesus himself, the blood of Jesus, the cross, inseparable. So it's the ground of his victory.
Okay.
We're told in Revelation 12, when the full force of Satan, the dragon, comes, believers overcome him by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb. We could say blood of the Lamb, but the true thing about authority is we've been given authority. It comes by oral command every time. So the first thing is, if you feel something coming or something happening, I always do this way. Lord, what is this? What's going on? So I'll pray that. And immediately I'll begin to want to come against it. But I'll always want to know what's going on and how far, because we have the Spirit of God to give us a strategy in targeting prayer. So I'll rebuke the demonic, command it to be broken and bound, and get out of here.
Okay.
Clear the air.
Right.
So I call it clear the air until I feel the power of the Holy Spirit only.
Wow. Yeah. Shannon, you go first.
David, I was 35 years old, and I had been targeted for death. Satan had come into my family line on my dad's side and was systematically killing off the men of the family. Now, we were in the church. Both my grandfathers were Church of God pastors. You would think everything's all right. But the Word of God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And I was battling depression. On one hand, everything was going great with a business. I should be happy. But I had this dark cloud over me, David. I'm 35 years old, and if I could tell you some more, I would say my great-grandfather had died 52. My grandfather would die at 58. A year later, my dad was going to die at 57. Me and my brother were targeted for death. And we were believers.
Mm-hmm.
What were we missing? What we were missing is what most of the church today is missing. A quarter of Jesus Christ's ministry, or a third, however you want to count that, was involved in spiritual warfare and deliverance. And what you don't know will get you killed and taken out in a body bag. And I can say that, to make a long story short, I cried out to the Lord, David. I did all that I knew to do. I said, God, something's wrong with me. Do I need psychotropic drugs? I didn't know what to do. And the Lord heard my prayer. And in his mercy, David, I had fallen asleep on a Friday night on my couch. I had not made it up back to bed. I wake up on a Saturday morning, and I just reached out. And I said, wow. I didn't go back to bed. I found my bed, Bible on the armrest of the sofa, and I just opened it up, and bam, the dream comes back to me. God had spoken to me that night, and he said, you and your brother Damon have a generational curse you need to break.
Mm.
That's all God said. 2 days later, David, my brother Damon calls me and says, man, I just got to tell you about this book I'm reading. It's by Derek Prince. It's called The Blessing of the Curse. You choose. And I said, Damon, let me tell you about the dream. I can hardly believe what happened. God said, we've got a generational curse to break. Well, you're speaking about these aliens. I had a brother in Jacksonville at the time. His experience was that he was laying on his bed, David, and something to begin to choke the life out of him. He could see it. It was a black shape laying on top of him, a demon. And he managed to cry out one word, which is the answer for all of us. He said, Jesus, Jesus. He cried his name out a couple of times. The demon let go of my brother's body, ran out, and slammed the door behind it as it left the condo. He was so traumatized, he had found his way to a workshop on breaking generational curses. So I share this testimony to say, you may think everything's all right. You could have been raised in the church. You're reading your Bible. Yet there are these dark forces that have come to deceive you and I. They want to kill, steal, destroy. And if we hadn't taken action and applied a remedy to this generational sin that was flowing through our bloodline like a snake bite. If we hadn't taken in a venom, which was the word of God, and took some action, I would be dead tonight. This was 20 years ago. And what we had to do is break a curse. I didn't realize at the time that my great-grandfather was a master mason. And we can open up generational sins that can have an effect going down to three or four generations, because when you open up these doors to witchcraft and idolatry, God hates it so much, it's classified as an abomination. He will many times bring a curse that will run three to four generations. The curse causeless shall not come. This is not a witch that's cursed you and I. It's typically we're under a curse from God himself because we have disobeyed his word and we've never repented of the sin. Back to you.
Yeah, and you know, I want to bring scripture in on this. I want to talk about speaking life. You can speak life or death. Let's go to Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. We have a choice. And what happens, we're under a generational curse, Shannon. We automatically choose the words of death, and we don't even know it. You know, I was raised in a family where everything was negative. People smoked, people drank. You know, it was craziness. And you get into that spiral, that downward spiral, and it's a deep dark hole to hell. And it's because the generation after generation after generation, somebody was praying for me somewhere when I was a kid. Yeah. Somebody was praying, and they're praying for you too. I want to go into, we've just got a few minutes to talk to the people about how these things can be broken. And let's go to Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Shannon, I want to start from the beginning. Number one, it's the blood of Jesus. Without the blood of Jesus, you might got nothing to talk about except the Twilight Zone, right? It's Jesus dying on the cross. The blood was shed for us, but then it goes to the power of God that's in us. That same power raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus offered his blood as a sacrifice to the Father in heaven. That power that was used to raise Jesus, that Jesus had to cast out demons, was transferred to you. and to people listening to us, if you're a child of God, and to me. We have that same authority, Shannon, that Jesus had when he cast the demons out. And I think that's what he was talking about, with greater things you and I will do than he did, because he transferred that power to us along with the manual. What is that? That is scripture showing what he did as a, I'm going to call it a wartime manual. What say you?
Satan has his army. God has his army. And his army here on earth is made up of believers who will answer the call, the Great Commission of Mark 16.
Yep.
And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. It was the first of several signs that should be in all of our lives. God has called us all to be in his end time army and be deliverers. You can be a Christian for just one day, a baby Christian, and you've got authority over these devils in the name of Jesus. The good news is we can win, but it's only through Jesus Christ and his shed blood that we do it. And the key to it in being delivered is 1 John 1:9. If we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to repent. We had a generational curse. Nobody had ever repented. It had went for decades. It would take my dad out a year later. However, we broke the curse in about a 4 or 5 minute prayer. And people can be set free. It's not rocket science, but it takes repenting, meaning business with the Lord, and being willing to sell out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you give the command, come out in the name of Jesus. It's really that simple.
Absolutely. I want to bring Shana on because we just got a few minutes here. She has a question for you from the listener, and we're going to be praying for people. Shana, did you say you had a question for Shannon? Okay, we need...
Very beginning, you were talking about how that veil has been opened, and that's why we're having so many more alien demonic encounters. Is there a way to close the veil, either over myself, my household, my community?
Absolutely. Satan is crouching at the door. The Bible says his desire is to come in and rule over us. So we have to submit to God. We have to resist the devil. And then we'll get the result of the devil will flee. So what I tell people to do is look at any of the major ways that devil comes in and then shut those doors. It can be contact with the occult. It can be pharmakia. It can be having sex outside of marriage. It can be going to a source other than God to divine your future. It's okay to want to know what's going on in the future, but go to God. Get a true prophet to speak to you, not one of these mediums. And so closing those doors, and even in the world of entertainment, it's getting very difficult to find good things that we can watch. 9 out of 10 shows I try to watch, they're using profanity. And it's become ubiquitous, or sex scenes. And what happens is when you begin to continue watching it, you're in compromise, you're entertaining the spirits, and then they've got a legal right to come in and attack. Also, people need to go through their house and look for any occult objects. We got a lot of people that know demons are real and they're trying to rid them off by burning sage or a dream catcher. Well, that does the opposite. That actually brings them in like, honey to the fly. So it takes repenting of our sin and walking holy before the Lord and asking him to show us where we've opened up a demonic door. And then we confess that sin, repent, ask him to forgive us. And you command any spirits that came into that doorway to get out. And if you have these things in your house, you get them out. I can tell you stories of objects that brought demonic attack in my own life.